Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks its guests three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine. And my guest this week is a woman who's lifted the lid on a conversation that so many have spoken around in always hushed tones, the rewards and challenges of blended families, and she has turned the volume up on it. But her journey to parenthood hasn't been conventional. She met and fell in love with a man who was widowed with three small children. They were a family deep in grief, learning to heal after their mother and his wife had lost her life to breast cancer 2 years previously. Meanwhile, she was living a very different kind of life as a 26-year-old single woman and recently joined cast member of The Only Way is Essex, having previously worked as a PA at a bank in the city for 7 years. But after being swept off her feet by not only him, but also his children, she made the decision to quit the show. She found herself at the heart of a family who were knee-deep in grief and loss. And through that time, she found her feet as the linchpin of what would become their new family unit. 2 years after meeting, they married in Turkey following a truly romantic proposal, and she was walked down the aisle by their sons with their daughter as her maid of honour. Their journey as a family is one they've shared in two documentaries whilst all the time protecting their children, of which, by the way, there are now four after they welcomed their son Cree in 2020. Her transformation from TOWIE cast member to thoughtful, open, caring parent is something she shared in her own brilliant podcast, Blended. I can't wait to talk to her more. Let's dial her up, shall we? It's Kate Ferdinand. Good morning.
Wow, that was impressive. That was very impressive. Morning, thanks for having me. What an intro.
We're not drinking because, as we've said, it's morning and we've all got kids and school runs and stuff. But otherwise, Kate, I would 100% be chinking my glasses with you because, wow, what a journey. I hate that word normally, but you have earned the right to call it a journey.
It has been one. And when I hear you say it back like that, I think, wow, I've come pretty far. You don't often hear people speak about you like that. Do you know what I mean?
No. Yeah. And it is a remarkable transformation in terms of, if you think about the day-to-day life you had as a 26-year-old woman versus now, and the bridge you've kind of traveled to get there, it is extraordinary, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, the worries back then are so different to the worries now. What shoes am I wearing? It's just so different. But I couldn't be more grateful for where I am now, feeling really content and happy, although it has been an up and down roller coaster journey. And it still is sometimes with obviously children that are grieving, but so grateful to be where I am now.
It's been amazing watching you blossom, grow, flourish in the face of this, struggle in the face of it. Because I think people take, certainly people that have tried to blend their own families, have been really reassured that it's not always easy because Instagram and social media can just show you the highlights, right?
100%. And you know what? I always talk about this, but that's something that makes me anxious as well. You know, if you're having a bad day and you look on Instagram and you might have stayed at home with your kids because you can't bother to take them out, you're just not feeling the mood, and someone's been to an adventure park and they've cooked dinner and you're like, oh my God, I'm a terrible parent.
Exactly. The children are eating cucumber crudités and they've been to soft play and you're still in your pajamas. Yeah.
So, you know, Instagram, I mean, it's people's highlights, isn't it? It's the best bits of their life. And sometimes you can't help but compare your not so good bits to everyone's best bits. So I've just made a conscious effort to try and share the great bits, but the not so great bits as well.
Can I ask a question? This is something that keeps coming back to me every time. So I've watched both documentaries in advance of talking to you today. Bald and bald and bald my eyes out. I mean, by the time those beautiful children escorted you down the aisle, I mean, it was the most phenomenal full stop on that chapter before you turn the page into the next chapter. And I was with you every step of the way down that aisle. Did you know you had this in you when you started your relationship with Rio? Did you know that you had the capacity for all this love and all this struggle?
I'm laughing because I think I didn't quite know what I was signing up to. But and it's funny to look back at me now thinking it'll be fine, you know. But I'm quite a resilient person. I'm very loving. I wear my heart on my sleeve. And I think, you know, my childhood was, I really craved love and wanted the people around me to feel love, because maybe when I was a child, I didn't have my dad around. I was an only child. I felt a bit lonely at times. So it's worked out in a weird kind of way, but I feel as though this is the love that I needed when I was young, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've got this family that I always wanted, but just in a different kind of route to what I expected.
I was watching in your documentary that you made with Rio. So the first documentary that he made, you'd only just met before it aired, and it was his story as a man who'd lost his wife, the mother of his children. And then the second documentary is you two coming together as a family and working through all of the stuff that comes up as a result of that. Plus the fact that obviously his children and he are all grieving. He lost his mum, they lost their mum. So much. There's so much going on. But you're sat in a therapy session with other parents who have had a similar journey, I suppose. And you say, I feel like in front of strangers, I can call the children my children, but around the people that know us, that are close to us, sometimes those words just are rejected, or people might flinch or have a Rio says they have a physical reaction to it. Like, well, they're not your kids. You've been, you know, just that stuff is so huge. And yet you just march on through, Kate. And all you ever do is think of the kids. And that's remarkable. I think that's the success of where you've got to with that, with your family. The children have always come first.
Oh, thank you so much. You saying that feels like a kind of lifetime ago.
Does it?
Because I found it a lot more difficult then. It was the early years. They say it takes, I think, don't quote me, 4 to 7 years.
Yeah, and you were in year four by then, weren't you?
No, I think that was only year two. I'm only on year five now. Wow. So I was desperately looking for hope everywhere. and that's what Blended's about as well, is like the podcast, is that people have, you know, further down their journey, or they've just started their journey, and you can kind of get hope from where other people are at.
100%.
But for me, I mean, I still have those wobbles where certain people make me feel like I can't say that and make me feel uncomfortable, but I feel stronger in myself now. No, they're not my biological children, but they are my children. I raise them as my children, but I'm not their mum. It kind of doesn't make sense, but it makes sense in our little household.
Yeah. Especially the bond that you had. I mean, in the documentary, I appreciate all the children are that much older now, and the teenagers, I'm living them. They're different for sure. They come with their own unique challenges. But the relationship you have with Tia, I mean, beautiful, just a beautiful connection. That must be very special.
So lucky. Like, I feel so blessed. As much as they drive me bloody mental at times, and I nag at them constantly and we annoy each other, you know, there's just moments where I think we're just so lucky to have each other. Like, we really are, because, you know, everything that they've been through, and I've just, is crazy. And I've just received these bonus 3 kids that I love dearly. It's just, it's emotional to think of the journey we've been on and where we are now, because we always hoped to be here, and now we're here. So yeah, it's crazy looking back.
But do you understand the investment you've put in this and how you are now reaping the rewards of that? Even things like, God, one of the most moving scenes I think I've seen in any documentary was you reading out a letter that you'd written to the children's mother, Rebecca, who you've never met. You didn't know, but you do know, because you were living in amongst her memories and the children's memories of her, Rio's, her family's. And you wrote to her, and it was possibly one of the most beautiful letters I've ever heard read out loud, Kate, just saying, I don't know if I'm getting it right, but I'm going to look after your children for you. And it's
going to make me cry.
Yeah, it's the most, honestly, as a mum, I just thought, I'm going to cry now. As a mum, I thought, wow, yeah, I'd love to have a Kate Ferdinand to watch over my children with the same love and devotion and dedication, and your hunger to learn how to better serve them was remarkable.
Thank you so much. It's kind of strange. I think some people might think, why has she written that letter? But it's like I feel as though we're all part of the same family. Mm. And, you know, I think of me now, if I was to leave this earth, I would just want someone to look after my kids. And that's all I think about. And I'd want someone to love them and care for them and put them first. And don't get me wrong, I shout sometimes and I snap and do whatever other parent does. But just to love them and be there for them, I think, is just what any parent would want if they were leaving.
I mean, you probably feel in a really heightened way now that you've actually delivered a baby into the world yourself, right? Because the hormones that come with that are just, some women maybe don't experience them, but hormonally you go on a hell of a ride, right? But you wrote that letter before you were a biological parent yourself. And I thought it showed just the most extraordinary emotional intelligence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now that I'm a biological parent, it heightens the situation even more for me because I now know, you know, I knew she was their mum, obviously, and like how big that relationship is. But I didn't understand, you know, giving birth and all these moments that you go through and what it must now feel like when she had to say goodbye to her children.
Oh my God, yeah.
Like, and now that's even more heightened for me. So yeah, I mean, I'm really emotional and I'm really in touch with everything. But I think that's what makes it work. Sometimes I'm a bit too sensitive and then I get sad over silly things. But I suppose that's what makes me be able to be here and make it work.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you share so much of this with Blended. And congratulations, by the way, because to host a show for an hour and make people want to stay with you for an hour is a real skill, Kate. And you go into areas that a lot of people would fear to tread: domestic abuse, estrangement. I mean, I think, again, another moment of great power. I had to stop. I took you out for a walk to listen to Blended. And I had to stop when I listened to you open the mic on the episode where you shared your miscarriage, and it was you in a room on your own talking to a microphone, and it was really powerful. I don't know how you did it.
I feel some kind of like release when I just be honest. I feel like for a lot of my life, even from when I went on TOWIE, there was this kind of like expectation for me to look a certain way and be a certain way. And if you're a reality star, then you must be like this. And I kind of got caught up in what everyone thought I should be. And I feel a real release and I can relax around everything when I can just be myself and be open and honest.
I thought it was extraordinary because you're opening yourself up for some really challenging conversations. And I thought it was extraordinary, Kate, really. I mean, more power to you, because for any woman that's suffered baby loss, to hear somebody else's experience is a comfort blanket.
Yeah, and you know what? I think, well, it sounds kind of weird, but maybe I was just meant, you know, I do feel our paths are set out for us. And maybe I was just meant to walk this path so that then my experience can help other people.
Yeah.
So I just kind of look at it like that. If you could just help one or two people, then that's amazing. Because in those moments, you feel very isolated and alone.
You do, don't you?
Yeah.
Even if you're in a loving, happy marriage, you can feel very alone in those moments. Because hormonally and emotionally, you're somewhere else from your partner. You're having the same experience, but you're experiencing it very differently.
And hormones are wild, aren't they? Seriously.
Oh my God, like, they're hideous.
They're crazy, especially around childbirth and whatever. It's like I turn to like, I'm so emotional anyway. So that's like times 1,000. And I'm also half the devil. Like, it's just crazy.
Please keep those conversations coming with Blended. So congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So are you ready for your first question?
Oh, I'm a bit nervous. Go on.
Don't be nervous. Okay. We just talked about how you've explored families in so many different shapes and sizes across the course of Blended. But I wondered, how were you parented and how has that impacted the parent you've gone on to become?
I'm a great believer in our childhood, like, shapes us and it turns us one way or the other way in regards to how we parent. I am an only child. My mum and dad broke up when I was like three-ish. I've had on and off relationship with my dad, saw him sometimes, sometimes didn't, lots of issues, you know, with all the separation and things like that. My relationship with my mum was rocky, to say the least. In my teenage years, I was a bit of a, what would you like, rebel? And I
tear
rebelled.
Away.
Yeah, tear away. That's probably the best word. And I feel as though my mum at a certain age was quite strict with me, but maybe too strict, which then made me just rebel out of control. Do you get what? So yeah. I don't know why, because I think back and think, how on earth did I get away with what I'd done? Because my kids could never. I used to, like, I would run away from home. I would do mad stuff. I've got to be honest with you. Like, when I think back, I think my poor mum, like, I don't know how she coped with that.
Because your mum was a single parent, raising you on her own. Working, I'm guessing, yeah?
Working. I think I've always, I don't know if it's maybe my mum and dad's breakup. I always had kind of daddy issues. Like, I missed a mow around the house. I felt like when I was disagreeing with my mum, there was no one else in the room to, like, you know, give their opinion or anything like that. And we just clashed. So home was sometimes very volatile and it didn't always in my teenage years feel like a safe place. You know, when I look back, it was crazy. So compared to how I parent now, I mean, I like to say I'm firm but fair.
Was your mum firm with you or was she trying to put the genie back in the bottle by the time you were a teenager?
She tried to be firm, but I just wouldn't have it. I don't know how. I hope my children don't listen to this. Because that's not an option in our house. But I mean, I think it's because single parenting is bloody hard. My mum was trying to be the nice guy, the good cop and the bad cop. Whereas when you have two parents, you can kind of balance it out and, you know, one can be a bit more reasonable and things like that. And we didn't have any of that. And I felt quite misunderstood. I think I was very emotional. I was going through a lot with my parents break up and being a teenager and hormones, and I just done what I wanted to do, really, which is crazy. And now, like, yeah, like I say, I'm firm but fair, I'd like to say. We have certain kind of, not rules, but like expectations in the house, and the kids follow them, and if they don't, they'll get in trouble and they get their phones taken off of them, and it's all very reasonable, I would say.
Do you think that the fact that you do it alongside Rio and that there's two of you that are on the same page, well, are you on the same page? I don't know, I'm making that assumption. Does that make it easier?
Yeah, 100%. 100% it makes it easier. I mean, I'm at home more, so I feel like I get the brunt of I'm the nagger. I'm the one that nags constantly and they probably get really annoyed with me. Just pick your shoes up, do this. You haven't wiped the table. You haven't done this. I actually, my voice annoys me the more I say it, like... And Rio is more of, if there's a big problem, dad steps in. And the balance between us works, because I think I'm snappy over the small things, which I want to try and stop letting that get to me as much. But Rio kind of lets those things go and steps in when there's more of like a serious issue.
Do you think the fact that you've been through so much big stuff together means that the small stuff is the stuff that he can shrug off? You can just kind of go, there are bigger things to worry about.
He's very good at doing that. And I'm a bit of a control freak, but I'm trying to stop that and calm it down a little bit, because I don't think it's healthy for me and I don't think it's healthy for anyone.
Yeah. Well, they're impossible standards to uphold with four children, yeah. Aren't they?
Yeah, it is. But that's a work in progress.
Can I ask about your dad? Because, you know, obviously we saw on the documentary, you didn't elect to have him walk you down the aisle. That honour went to Rio's two sons, your two sons, which was a beautiful thing to see. How big a part has your dad played?
So basically, my relationship with him was rocky for a very long time. And then when I met Rio, I say when I met Rio, but I think it was when I became a mother, because I met Rio and he had three kids and I became a mother figure, and I looked at my life in a different way because I then had children. Although I didn't do it the biological route, I found myself becoming a mother. I reached out to my dad, and now we've got an unbelievable relationship, which I never thought we'd have. We weren't close when I was growing up, and I always can't imagine my kids not having their parents close, so I couldn't really understand that decision. But, you know, there's so many things that have gone on, and it's not as simple as that. So I suppose when I met Rio, maybe 5 years ago, I think it was, from then on, I've had an unbelievable relationship with my dad, and he's moved local. He was at the wedding. He walked me to the aisle, but there's just no photos of that. And then the kids walked me down the aisle. He might not have liked that, I don't know, but that was the decision I made, because he wasn't in my life continuously when I was a kid to give me away, I felt like. But I wanted him involved. But more importantly, I wanted us as a five, so me, Rio, Lorenz, Tate and Tia, to be the main kind of people. And I always thought the boys would walk me down the aisle. I don't know, from the minute I met Rio and the kids, I always thought the boys would walk me down the aisle.
Ah, yeah, it was beautiful. It was.
But really, I mean, families are difficult, aren't they? Like,
And I think we are raised to believe that families work like this. Or they don't work, right? And it's like, no, actually, there's no prescription about what a family looks like.
Yeah, it's difficult. And I think for everyone that might be going through something similar, I don't normally open up about this, but I feel like there is always hope. Like, I kind of brushed off the thing that I thought, I won't have a relationship with my dad. Nope. I'm never going to have a relationship with my dad. Nope, he hasn't been around. And I put myself in that box. And then I grew up and I thought, I would actually love to. I need to stop being so stubborn and just see if it will work. And if it works, it does. And if it doesn't, well, then it doesn't. But at least I've tried. And that's probably one of the best things that I've done.
But you did it when you were ready. And you
I was ready. Yeah, I mean, also, I was pushing my dad out. He would try and contact me in my later years and I wouldn't have any of it. I would not have any of it. That was me. But I feel like met Rio, I felt loved when I met Rio, and I felt relaxed, and I felt ready to kind of take on. When I think back, maybe I wasn't ready before that because I wasn't happy in my own life, whereas now I feel quite content and happy. That changed things for me.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? Love can really soften the edges of a hostile heart.
Yes, it can. And I was a hard you know what before, and I'm a bit of a softy now.
It's funny, isn't it? Because actually, when we look at you as a family, it's all about what you've brought to the family and how you've adapted and, you know, found your place within the family. But actually, what's Rio brought to your table, as you know, you've just said there, that's an extraordinary thing. Just by falling in love with him, it encouraged you to heal an otherwise fractious relationship with your dad.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's brought so much. Like, I'm just so grateful for him. Like, we're so... I mean, he drives me mental. They drive you crazy, don't they, at times?
Yes.
But, yeah, I'm just so grateful for him. Like, we've met each other. I think we found each other when we really both needed it. Like, he needed it, the kids needed that kind of thing, and I needed it. And we've just kind of formed this bond, which is just, I mean, what we've been through, some people don't go through in their whole lifetime.
Yeah.
So I think it's made our bond, all of us, just so tight.
Straight in at the deep end. And then you've got the extended family to deal with. I mean, the documentary saw Rio's dad, who I know you have a much stronger connection with now, but really stand back and give you a not a hard time, but certainly didn't make things easy for you. It's like, well, all I'm worried about is the kids. And Rio said to him, I thought, oh God, I love this man. He said, do you not think she needs help at a time like this? Can you not see that this is someone that could be asking for help and you're not helping? And he really had your back. He was in your corner, but also very respectful of his dad. It was a really interesting dynamic to see play out.
It's funny because, oh, Julian. At the beginning, our relationship was not good. You could see he was very standoffish, like he was protecting his family.
He suspected that you were there for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
He thought, girl off Towie, look at my rich footballer son. All vulnerable. She's going to come in and... I don't know, hoover up like a gold digger, maybe. I don't
100%,
know. 100%.
Right. 100%. And I now look back and I think, you know what, he was protecting his family, and that's the only way that he knew how to do it. But it's funny because we love each other now.
Do you?
Oh my God, we have the best relationship ever. Like ever, ever, ever. I never thought I would say this. Like, it's so crazy how it's changed.
Good.
And every now and then I pull him up on that bit and we have a laugh about it. But
does he feel a bit embarrassed about the tough time he gave you?
He's a stubborn man. So I don't think he'll ever admit to being embarrassed, but I think, yeah. But yeah, we get on so well, like unbelievably. Like, I talk to him most days. It's just crazy how the tables have turned. So when I look back to that time, everything has sort of just slowly fallen into place. And I felt as though back then it never would. So I think it's just what I try and talk about with other blended families is time. It's just time. With time, people, you know, they relax and they can see you for who you really are.
Yeah. Yeah. You've got to see it to believe it, and consistency.
Yeah. Consistency is key, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. You must have learned so much from the conversations you've had on Blended, actually, that have helped you as you navigate the next stage of family life. You've got teenagers in the house. You've got a toddler, and you've dealt with baby loss recently. And these are all touchstones that you've hit upon with the podcast. Have your guests informed you?
My guests, I kind of just love it because I feel like I get to meet so many people. Mm. You'll probably feel the same and learn so much about other people's lives. It makes you just put things into perspective and maybe take a different outlook on certain things and just learn along the way. Like, I'm so grateful for that. I get to learn. I get to talk to like psychotherapists and counsellors, and I get to hear about people's journeys. And I feel like not only these conversations help people that are listening, but they help me at home, and I go and implement certain things at home, or, you know, it starts up good conversation topics over the dinner table. So yeah, I mean, Blended has helped me so much. I felt like it's what I really needed, as well as the Blended community, just to be able to speak openly without feeling judged. And
that's
have
the important thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I feel like sometimes when you share things on Instagram or social media, the way people read it depends on how they take it in. Whereas when you're when you're speaking,
context.
Yeah, you can hear it for what it is. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's really helped me.
It's about the intonation. It's about hearing the tone in which somebody says something in response to whatever was said before. You can't. Social media is brilliant, but we can't succinctly land ourselves in 140 characters or a reel. You know, we just can't. But what I love is the fact that you started Blended as an Instagram page and then realised it was a wider conversation, and you've widened that out. And I can imagine that when you did, you probably didn't even know that you had this in you, Kate, to be the host of a very intelligent conversation week in, week out, that was emotionally very inflammatory.
You know what? I just thought I can't do it. Even now, sometimes I say to like the people, the production people, can I do this? Like, can I actually do this? But I think I've got no experience in talking like this. Absolutely none. But I suppose I just lead with my heart and talk as I would at home and hope for the best.
you've got more experience than you give yourself credit for, Kate.
Yeah, it's true, I suppose, when you say it like that. But I still feel like a newbie to this, all this kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm learning on the job.
Exactly. That's the only way to learn.
Yeah.
It's the only way to learn. It's just that you've probably got a lot more eyes and ears on you than some people starting out.
Yeah, it's true.
So are you ready to dive into your next question?
I don't know. Go on.
Don't be scared.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I love the fact that across not only the podcast, but also the documentary that you made with Rio, you've spoken so openly about how therapy has really helped you. And not just since you've become somebody that the public are aware of, but right across your life, you've lived with anxiety from, well, pretty much adolescence onwards. So I wanted to know, what are some of the big moments in life where therapy has changed or improved an important outcome for you? In the hope that it will encourage other people to make that appointment, to bite the bullet and do it?
Oh, that's a big question. I need to think about this. I can't think of like a specific moment, but more in general, when life becomes overwhelming, anyone that feels that they've got a lot on their plate and it just all feels too much and you can't do anything to the level that you want to be doing it because you're really struggling, I think it just helped take that pressure off and like the person that I was speaking to let me know that I am capable, it is okay, and just help me understand myself. I think sometimes you get so caught up in everything that's going on and everything becomes too much that you lose yourself in the process. Mm. So one of the really big things it taught me to do is take time for myself. Like, I always want to make everyone else happy. That's my personality. But sometimes to the detriment of myself. And I will literally burn out because I'm doing everything for everyone else. So it just taught me some kind of self-care, which I'm still haven't mastered yet.
it's not easy with four kids.
No, it's not easy.
I mean, shaving your legs is an achievement.
Oh my God, tell me about it. But just taking time for me, like have some time, even if it's a hot shower. I know it sounds crazy because my kids always walk in when I'm in the shower and I think, for fuck's sake, like why when I'm having a shower do you walk in? But just little things, I try to find the enjoyment in small things rather than always looking for the big thing. But I can't think of a specific moment.
But, you know, if you think about anxiety, right, anxiety is a set of emotional handcuffs. It can hold you back from so many situations in life. Had you not sought therapy to manage your anxiety, would you have ended up going on to have a career in the city? Would you have ended up on a reality television show? Would you have been sat by a pool when somebody introduced you to a guy that you'd heard was a footballer, but you didn't really know who he was? Do you know what I mean? All of those things are as a result of the decisions that you made to jump into life. And if you'd sat with your anxiety and allowed it to rule you, you probably never would have done those things.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, for me, especially, I'm my own worst critic, and my mind could hold me back from a lot of things. Mm. Even, for example, the podcast. I think that was in the talks for a year or longer, and I kept saying, yeah, I'll do it. And then it'll get down to, like, I'm really sorry, I'm not doing it. I don't want to do it.
Really?
Because I just didn't have the confidence to feel like I could go ahead, and I was so worried about so many things. So I feel like therapy has just helped me understand me and try and be more confident. Don't get me wrong. You would never know. This is what I mean. From social media, you would never think that I wasn't confident. You would just assume from a picture that I am. But I do lack confidence in certain things. So I suppose it's helped me to just trust the process and go with it and try not to listen to my anxiety all the time or know how to manage it.
But you're clearly comfortable in a therapeutic environment because you allowed cameras in on you having therapy, you talking to a therapist. And then we saw you do something brilliant, which was encourage your children to speak to other children who had suffered loss of a parent. And they weren't resistant to it, but they weren't going, oh, well, you know, they was a bit like, well, I'll do it if the others do it. But you knew, having walked that path yourself, that they would get something from it. And the end of that therapy session, oh, my heart could have wept. They'd connected with other children that understood their day-to-day feelings. That was massive.
Yeah, it's massive. You know, I'm a great believer in communicating. I'm laughing because I speak about everything like so, like probably too much. Like I have to communicate because when I was young, when I think back, I didn't really have anyone to communicate with, and I felt like trapped within myself and unheard at certain times. And I've just really, really struggled with that. So now I'm a great believer in talking. We talk at the dinner table, we talk all the time, we share all of our problems. And although they didn't really believe it at the beginning, the kids now know that when you do talk or you're struggling, when you share that problem, you do just feel better.
Well, you have it.
Yeah, you have it. It's true. 100%. And it just helps. So we are chatterboxes in this house now, and we all share our problems, and all the kids are different. All of them express in different ways. Mm. One of them, for example, loves to talk and wants to talk whenever there's a problem. Another one might hold it in for a little bit and then talk when they're about to explode.
Yeah.
And the other one doesn't want to talk. But it just shows you that all children deal with things differently. And I think you can't force any of them to talk when they're not ready to. So that's something at the beginning I thought, right, no, everyone in therapy, we all need this. And the therapist said, listen, this is not how it works. They have to wait until they're ready, and you can't force anyone to do anything. So it's just, I mean, talking has definitely helped a couple of them by just knowing that they're not alone and that there's people out there to help. And even if we can't fix the problem, we can sit with you in your feelings and we can be there. I think it just helps you feel not alone, I would say.
And finally, therapy within relationships is something that you and Rio have had to tap into to better understand how to support the children.
I mean, I don't think we've had therapy together, but we might get advice from therapists in regards to what's going on in our house, and we don't know if we're doing the best thing and, you know, how do you deal with this situation? So we might ask for advice with certain things to help us move forward, but we've never actually had it as a couple yet. I say,
four children, it's only a matter of time.
True.
Okay, time for my third and final question. Big change is something you've become really adept at. And I wondered, what have been the biggest leaps you've had to make to become the woman that you are today? What are those forks in the road that have got you to where you sit today?
For me, I've had a real internal journey fighting myself for many, many years. And I always felt as though I was never good enough. I've always fighting something internally.
What do you think that is?
I really don't know. It must be related to my childhood. I just felt misunderstood for a really long time. And it's like, I felt like I just had to stop worrying about what everyone thinks, because I get caught up with what everyone thinks. And, you know, especially when I met Rio, because, I mean, I was, like you said earlier, I was on TOWIE. I had no kids. I've just met this Rio, who's a footballer, lives in a big house. Like, come on, it doesn't exactly sound great, does it? And everyone judged me based on me being that TOWIE girl, not based on who I was and my heart. Mm. And I felt as though I was just judged everywhere, like constantly, everywhere I went. And that was, then I felt I was trying to prove myself. No, I am a nice person. I am this. And I got caught up in a kind of like cycle of trying to prove myself to who? Even to everyone around us. And I just had to stop and just think, right, enough is enough. I think I had a big break off social media, had a big break off everything. And I just had to love myself like start to love myself and know who I am and really get to know me, get to know why I am the way I am, why I react funnily to things and why I do this. And then I could start to love myself more.
Yeah, it must have felt very intense at that time, especially when also at the same time as feeling, you know, intensely judged, you're falling intensely in love. So yeah, they're very juxtaposed emotions, I suppose, aren't they?
Yeah, and there was also a lot of comparison, obviously, to Rebecca, Rio's first wife. And I got caught up in that as well. Like, I just felt like I was never good enough, ever. Mm. To be honest, the documentary really helped me with that. Like, filming the documentary was a real big therapeutic process for me. It was really emotional. But by the end of it, I felt as though I'd overcome a lot and I'd kind of got myself on the right tracks. Because however strong you are, however nice you are, to feel judged by people in your house and everyone and the public and everyone, there's only so much of that you can really handle.
It must be very hard actually to keep a perspective. How did you do that?
I'm laughing. I don't know. I think it got to a point where I couldn't continue. Like, I was struggling a lot. You know, I'd taken on children that are grieving. I've moved into a house that wasn't mine. You know, I had to learn about all different the kids and all their family members, and I had to learn all this stuff, and you know, I was trying to be me plus everything from the public. It just all got too much, and enough was enough, and I felt like I needed to get to that point to reset.
Yeah, and you needed to sort of break in order to rebuild.
yeah if that makes sense. And that in a weird way is probably the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I've learned so much about myself. I've realized I don't think strong's a good thing sometimes. I'm strong, but, you know, only to a certain point. But I realise I can actually handle a lot.
Yeah. Did it get in the way of you enjoying falling in love with each other? Because obviously none of this works unless you two work.
I mean, obviously it was, we had amazing times and so many good times. And there was difficult times because we're starting a whole new beginning with kids that have been through so much. Like, wasn't straightforward at all.
And it wasn't really just about you two, was it? You didn't get into a couple, you got into a family.
Yeah, I think there wasn't really the honeymoon period. You know, when you have that honeymoon period and you're just, you know, doing what you're doing, going on holidays and doing that. We didn't really have any of that. But I feel as though it's made us who we are now, because we've been through so much, like I said earlier, that to get to where we are now, at one point we probably never thought was going to happen. So we just makes you appreciate where we are and the journey that we've been on.
That's probably one of the most significant leaps you've ever taken.
Yeah.
And you know, you went in with both feet. You knew very quickly, I can't do a reality television show where we're bickering about someone's, you know, hair extensions or how deep is their
tan.
And
they were my problems, the hair extensions.
When you're going home to a family that are dealing with genuinely real issues, it must have made everything feel slightly ridiculous.
I think it just put everything into perspective.
Yeah.
But when people have these traumatic life events, everything is put into perspective and it makes you think what is really important, and it makes you readjust. And I suppose I readjusted completely my whole life, and people that were with me from previously before, they probably couldn't understand what the hell was going on, because I wasn't open. I kind of went in.
The world that you were moving into was so emotionally fraught. And you were coming from a place that was really, by comparison, quite frivolous. Like, where are we going on Saturday? What are you wearing? You know, those were the burning conversations, right? You must have felt that, you know, that world was just so alien to the one that you were stepping into.
I think that was it. And I think actually filming the documentary and some of my friends, you know, that I'd lost contact with, seeing that, they then understood what was going on. I just didn't really have the capacity to be having those kind of conversations when I've had such deep stuff going on.
Did a lot of your friends judge you for giving up work to look after the children?
I think probably everyone did. I've always worked and I've always done that. Like, it's been something that I've always done and I need to work for my mind. So to give it up, I think shocked everyone that knew me, because that wasn't my personality. But I knew what I was doing. I knew that in order for this to work for a period of time, to get settled in so that then I can go back to work and be comfortable and know that the kids are secure and happy. But I think people couldn't see the bigger picture, maybe.
Yeah, but they would never have questioned it. Were you their biological mother?
Yeah, it's true.
It's very true, right? You know, yeah. My kids have been through a lot. I need to be there for them. So I'm going to step back from work for a while. Of course. Totally get it. Right thing to do. Yeah. What about the other moments of great transformation? What about, for example, stepping into the workplace for the first time? What did that look like for you? What were your ideas for yourself as a professional person?
I've never known what I want to do. Even to this day, I don't. You know, like when you're a kid and you're like, this is what I want to do. But I've never really like had a talent. Like I always think if I was in one of these shows and they're like, right, time for your talent. I'll be like, what am I going to do? So yeah, I've always struggled to know where my path is or what I'm doing, but I've always been quite a hard worker and I enjoy that escape. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I've had many jobs. You know, my first job was a hairdresser. I've worked in a fish and chip shop. I had loads of jobs when I was a kid because we didn't have loads of money and I always wanted the finer things in life. So I used to go from job to job, like I'd work in the week and then I'd have an evening job at the weekend and I'd do all this. So I've always had lots of jobs, but going back to work post Cree, having my biological son was really daunting. I feel like you kind of lose all sense of who you are and if you're capable of doing anything other than thinking about nappies and milk. But I just love it. It's set me free. I feel like I get to be away from home. I love them all, but I get to be me and just me without thinking about anyone else apart from the job in hand. And then I feel like when I get home, I've got more patience and I'm really excited to be home rather than sometimes, you know, when you're at home constantly, like it's been half term and they're all driving you mental. You've got a really short fuse.
Yeah. Know that one. Yeah. How did you feel after becoming a mum in terms of, you know, you said you wanted to get your professional identity back, but how did you identify yourself? Because for me, it was massive. I felt everything differently. I always say to my son, you are all the colours in my rainbow. Everything was kind of black and white before you came along. But with that comes a whole ton of feelings.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I felt different even from becoming a stepmom with Lorenz, Tate and Tia, but I couldn't quite, you know, understand it because I hadn't had a biological child. But everything changed the minute I met them. All my priorities changed like that, like really quickly overnight. I suppose the difference with having Cree is you kind of prepare for it. You're pregnant for 9 months. I mean, you try and prepare for it, but you can't really.
Not really.
but yeah, everything changed. Everything. Like the way, literally, like you say, everything. I see everything differently. And I feel like you get to know a new version of you because the way you think about things change. You understand people, you know, that have got kids and the way they've thought. Just everything changes. But I feel like the best version of myself I've ever been right now. You know, like over the years, I was not happy with certain things. And right now I feel like I'm a work in progress, but I feel like I'm the best version of myself to date. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Oh, that's lovely to hear.
Yeah.
That's really lovely to hear. And what ambitions do you have left for you? I mean, now that the family are working and it's all cooking nicely, what's on your list for you?
Well, I love Blended. I love what I'm doing with Blended. I love helping people. And, you know, there's still moments where I really, really struggle and I feel alone. So I want to continue having those conversations, hopefully make that broader. I don't know. You know, like I'm open to lots of different things. Just as long as I can feel satisfied in what I'm doing and like I'm doing the right thing. I don't like to jump in doing just anything just for the sake of it. So I'll just take it slowly and see what comes, really.
Oh, that's so nice to hear, Kate. It sounds like you're in a very contented spot in life.
Yeah, let's hope it lasts. You never know. I'm thinking myself.
But I really hope you carry on these conversations with Blended because more and more families look different to ever before, you know. It's not a trend, it's not a phase, it's just a way of life now. So to discuss all of those nuances in an intelligent way is really valuable.
Thank you so much. I hope it continues. I just hope it helps people. I mean, just hearing people talk helps, doesn't it?
I had Debbie Bright on the podcast with Lydia and George. Yeah, Georgia. And they talked about being a family that fosters. And you've talked to Debbie about her. I mean, what an incredible woman, so uplifting and positive. And as it, just her heart, you know, has been open to so many children. How many kids have they fostered? Over 200 or something? It's ridiculous.
Over 200 children. And she is, I mean, I love the whole family, but I'm obsessed with Debbie. Like, she's just an amazing woman. Someone asked me the other day, who's my idol? And I'm just thinking, I don't really see an idol as someone that looks good. I kind of think of someone's heart and what they do. Mm-hmm. And I just can't think of anyone apart from Debbie. Like, she's just such an amazing woman, isn't she?
She really is.
But she's so fun. And she's so carefree. I've told this story before, but I go to her house with the kids and it's love you, Debbie, but there's stuff everywhere. Like, it's probably the opposite of my house. Everything has a home. Stuff everywhere. And I remember her saying to Tia, well, you know, you can paint the walls. And Tia went, we don't get to do this at home. She's like, she'll let you do it at home. I said, absolutely not. Enjoy it while you're at Debbie's, because it's not happening at home. But I just aspire to be carefree like her as well. Like, she's not
painting the walls.
Massive loving heart. She's just carefree, and it is what it is. Whereas I'm a bit bloody stiff. I'm like, no, we need a clean house. We need this. She just inspires me.
Oh, okay. Continued success in everything that you do, especially with the family.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Our huge thanks to Kate Ferdinand. What a lovely woman. Don't forget, Blended, her podcast is available wherever you get your podcasts. And my thanks to you for listening. The show, as always, is produced by me, Kate Thornton, with Maria Nibbs for Yahoo Studios, with editing by Eleanor Humphrey. And our music, as always, is from Andy Bell. And if this chat has left you wanting more, why not have a scroll back through our back catalogue, where you'll find episodes that focus on the many different shapes and sizes families come in these days. There's Alistair Campbell with his daughter Grace. We've got the Brights talking about being a family that foster, whilst actress Charlie Brooks opens up about life raising her daughter alongside her ex, who lives in the flat above her. So happy scrolling, and until next Friday, thanks so much for your company.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.